There was a time when speaking what was on your mind, especially in the classroom, would lead to things like discussion, debate, and wind up being a mutual learning experience. Today, it's a much different situation for those who especially hold conservative ideas as an importance. Recent studies show that many of these students are just outright reluctant to share their views out of concern they'll be insulted by professors. Yeah, really, receive poor grades and other consequences on top of that. With us now to examine the impact of all this is the president of Speech First, Nicole Neely. How are you today, Nikki?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on.
SpeechFirst.org. Learn more about this issue, the work of Nicole's organization, Speech First. In your article, you have links to a couple of studies and surveys. These are not isolated incidences that a handful of students are claiming. This is a vast majority of not even hardcore conservatives, leaning Republicans in the college campuses say, you know, it just makes my life easier if I keep my mouth shut and just try to toe the line.
Absolutely. Yeah, it was a study done by the College Fix recently. They worked with the College Pulse. They polled students across the country who were self-identified Republicans, serious Republicans, moderate Republicans. And, I mean, across the board, about three-quarters of students said they don't express their opinions in class because they're scared. And that is horrible. And it's, as you said, it's echoed across the country. I saw a poll from last year at the University of Texas. 80% of students echoed that. And so this is very widespread.
And there was a poll, too, as you said, the college polls they did for the College Fix. They had a comment section. The students had the option to weigh in the topic after they answered the questions in the survey. A few of them here. A student from Notre Dame. I actually got yelled at by a professor for my views on gun control. It wasn't an argument or anything, just plain one-sided assault, insulting. And this one from Clemson. When writing papers for gen ed classes, absolutely, I know a guy who chose to write a pro-border wall argumentative essay for a super liberal professor, and the professor just wrote, this whole paper is one big fallacy, and bombed him. Me? I wrote about the evils of horse racing. Perfectly safe topic.
Yeah, no, I run a campus free speech organization. We're a membership association that defends students' rights, and the number one concern I hear from students is that they fear getting a bad grade. I mean, I talked to a student about 2 years ago at the University of Michigan who said his professor saw him wearing a Trump button and refused to write him a letter of recommendation from med school. He was the department chair. It really would have made the difference for the student to apply, but he expressed his political views, and he was penalized for it. So there are real-world consequences.
And we have to keep in mind, too, that this is an environment, I'm speaking to someone listening who might not be aware of what the college campus is today versus what it was yesterday. Actually, even though it's illegal by federal law, allocate and assign free speech zones. Here you could talk about what you want, but over there, well, you're going to be called into the dean's office.
Yeah, I mean, I'm old school. I kind of was under the impression that America was a free speech zone, but yeah, these state actors, these state schools that receive federal money, that receive state money, have determined areas. I mean, on some campuses, they've blocked them out with paint the size of a parking space. This is where you can express your free speech. It's mind-boggling.
I see all this, too, about, you know, the left wants to limit free speech, and I saw a story sort of unrelated, but it's in a way for a conversation. It is. There was a woman who encouraged her suicidal boyfriend to kill himself. Dateline, one of those true crime shows, did the story back in 2014. And she wants to have an early release from her sentence. She was convicted of manslaughter. The defense attorney is saying, well, what she did, encouraging her suicidal boyfriend to kill himself, was just her practicing her First Amendment rights to free speech.
It's funny to see how some of these arguments have been really, yeah, adapted and weaponized. Because at the end of the day, as you said earlier, it's speech, you know, particularly on college campuses, you know, how many students go to college when they're 18, fully formed, totally, you know, perfect political views? You're supposed to go to college to pursue truth, to be exposed to new ideas. But there's one set of ideas that are just totally unwelcome on college campuses. So students aren't getting exposed to other ideas. They're not able to make up their own minds for themselves.
Well, also, too, when they go through their 4 years, or if they're going for master's 6 or 8 years or whatever the case may be, how is this preparing them for what we like to consider to be the real world? Or guess what, boys and girls? Not everyone's going to agree with you.
Right. And I think that's another really important point is that, you know, college is supposed to prepare you to enter the real world, right? You're going from being a child in your parents' house to learning how to function in a diverse society. And instead, what students are learning is speech is violence. It's okay to shut up, censor, attack people who disagree with you. And those are very dangerous behaviors, because what's happening on campus is not staying on campus. They're going into the workforce. They're expecting accommodations like that. They're protesting. I mean, right now in downtown D.C., there are protests all over the place because of climate, and they think it's perfectly acceptable to attack people who disagree with you.
Now, this isn't to say that there's speech that's wrong. If you want to define hate speech as an attack on someone because of the race, the religion, gender identity, or sexual orientation, I think most people would agree that's something that, while it should be, you shouldn't be thrown into jail for it, it's just something as part of normal society that you don't want to be espousing. And if you know someone who does, you hopefully want to take them to the side and say, hey, stupid, shut up. That's not supposed to be what you do as an adult. But if you want to count hate speech as showing up wearing a MAGA hat, then we got a problem.
Right. But even at the end of the day, if somebody is espousing a viewpoint that is really odious, shutting them up, censoring them, getting them in trouble, it doesn't make those views go away, right? You should want to persuade someone that your viewpoint is better. You should be, if anything, it drives those viewpoints underground into deep, dark places of the Internet where bad things happen.
Talking with Nicole Neely, who is the president of Speech First. SpeechFirst.org is the website. Learn more about the organization, the cases, the support, and the students that they help. And you're listening to Issues and Ideas. But the problem becomes, Nicole, that you want a college education. It's not like in grade school where you can be homeschooled and avoid toxic situations, which in a similar degree actually happen, like we were talking about here, but in high school and middle school. But you want to go to college, you have really just one option, unless you can find maybe, I'm thinking of some of the professors or college officials I've talked with over the years. I know the Wesleyan University in Oklahoma is a Christian college that seems to be having the right idea, even though I had the dean on from there one time, and he was doing a talk with one of the verses of the Bible. And a student came up to him all upset saying, you should have warned me you were going to talk about that because it made me feel bad because I didn't live up to that expectation the Bible is teaching me to.
Yeah, there's a big move on college campuses these days to ensure emotional safety for students, that they won't have their feelings hurt, that they won't be exposed to ideas that upset them, which I think is that's a horrifying idea, right? Because, again, your feelings are going to be hurt in the real world. You're going to be challenged, and you have to learn how to be resilient at how to deal with opinions really that you don't agree with or ideas you don't like. Because that makes you stronger. But if you're trying to protect students from everything altogether, bubble wrap them, I think you're doing students a tremendous disservice.
Well, sir, I mean, short term and certainly long term. So for those students in that 70 plus percentile who say, I'm afraid to say what I believe, what's your message for them?
Well, students who are afraid to express themselves, I think if they are facing disciplinary repercussions for that, if their school can direct them through a hearing, if they can go before, on some of these schools, they have programs called bias response teams where you really are called in before essentially a star chamber to explain your views to others, to your administrators. That's a huge problem. And if it's a public university, I mean, my organization sues schools. I would like to talk to those students and, make sure that they don't face repercussions for that. For the students who fear some, peer pressure, I think, once in a while, I think it is important for students to stand up and be brave because it's not only you owning your viewpoints, even though there might be a little bit of pushback from your peers, but you're also emboldening students around you because, you're obviously not going to be the only student who maybe believes in conservative principles, who believes in religious principles. And so there is strength in numbers. And so I encourage students to seek each other out.
And even though we're in the beginning of the school year in September for senior year, that certainly means college hunting. And for the parents, I would imagine, too, if you want to aim your student for a positive college experience, it could be something as simple as just, well, look at the curriculum. What are they teaching? If it's some of these outrageous courses that we see and almost laugh at, well, we shouldn't be laughing because it really does demonstrate a dangerous sign of how some college campuses are really becoming just indoctrination centers.
Yeah, I think choosing a school, I think that's a great point. Choosing a school right now is a lot more complex than when I looked at schools, it was, what's in-state tuition, what's my scholarship package. There's a lot more information out there now, and I think it's incumbent on parents and students to look at, has that college been in the news recently? How do they treat some of these civil liberties, some of these Title IX issues on campus? Because, you might go someplace thinking you're getting one experience and be really sadly disappointed and possibly even in danger if you go to a school that doesn't uphold principles that they claim to espouse.
The Founding Fathers spoke what they believed under great threat. For you listening, if you are headed in that direction for college, if you're in college right now, if you're a parent with someone, headed toward the college experience. Well, it's really part of the experience includes standing up and speaking what you believe, and the work that Speech First does for students who are challenged when it comes to doing that basic, right, which we assume is an automatic, but college campuses, unfortunately, too many are proving to be thinking about that otherwise. Speech First is an organization you should turn to for the empowerment that you need to indeed stand up, speak up for what you believe in, and challenge, not challenge authority, but challenge those who don't understand what you're trying to communicate, because that results in that mutual learning experience I talked about back in the intro. SpeechFirst.org. She is the president of Speech First, Nicole Neely. Nikki, thanks so much for being here today.
Thanks for having me.